BlackRock, kidnapping and custody fears. Push Bitcoin into IBIT. BlackRock's head of digital assets, Robbie Michnick, said this week that a growing share of Bitcoin moving into the firm's iShares Bitcoin Trust, IBIT, is being driven by personal security fears rather than any expected return. In comments circulated on August 27, 2026, he named kidnappings, ransom demands, and custody failures as the specific threats pushing some holders to hand their coins to a regulated custodian instead of guarding private keys themselves. The framing cuts against the usual pitch for a spot Bitcoin ETF. Most coverage treats these products as a convenience play. Exposure through a brokerage account. No seed phrases, no exchange logins. Michnick's point is narrower and more uncomfortable. For a segment of large holders, self-custody has become a physical liability, and the ETF is the way to remove the target from their back. The wrench attack goes mainstream. The security industry has a blunt name for the risk Michnick is describing, the $5 wrench attack. No amount of cryptography protects a holder if an attacker can physically coerce them into transferring funds. As Bitcoin traded at roughly 78,852 as of August 27, 2026, up about 13% over the prior 7 days per CoinMarketCap data, the incentive for that kind of coercion scales directly with the price. There have been enough real cases to make the concern concrete rather than theoretical. Over the past 2 years, the industry has logged kidnappings and home invasions targeting known holders and their families, including incidents aimed at executives and their relatives. Once an address is linked to a name, the balance is public on-chain, and the person becomes a walking vault. That is the exposure a self-custody setup cannot patch. An ETF share breaks that link. The underlying Bitcoin sits with BlackRock's custodian. Holdings are pooled, and the investor holds a brokerage position that cannot be drained by force in a driveway. For a family office or a high-net-worth individual, that separation between wealth and personal safety is the product being bought. Custody failure is the other half. Kidnapping grabs headlines, but Michnick paired it with a quieter risk. Custody failure. Lost keys, botched inheritance planning, hardware wallet mistakes, and phishing all fall under this heading, and collectively they have vaporized far more Bitcoin than any robbery. Chainalysis and others have long estimated that a meaningful share of the Bitcoin supply is permanently lost to forgotten keys and discarded drives. Institutional custody is not risk-free either, and it is worth being precise about the trade being made. Handing coins to BlackRock's custodian swaps self-custody risk for counterparty risk. The FTX and Wirecard collapses are the reference points for what happens when a trusted intermediary fails, though a regulated, audited ETF custodian sits in a different category from an offshore exchange commingling customer funds. The holder is choosing which failure mode they can live with, not eliminating failure. The defensive bid behind the flows. This reframing matters for reading Bitcoin ETF demand. Inflows are usually interpreted as a directional bet, money expecting the price to rise. Michnick is describing a defensive bid, capital moving in to reduce personal risk, regardless of the near-term price view. That is a stickier kind of holder. Someone parking coins in IBIT to get a target off their family is not watching the Fear and Greed Index, which sat at 80, or Extreme Greed, on August 27, 2026. It also draws a sharp line for the average retail user who faces neither a credible kidnapping threat nor a nine-figure balance worth targeting. For most people, the calculus that pushes a large holder into an ETF does not apply, and the trade-offs of giving up direct control still favor holding their own keys. The decision between a custodial product and holding your own coins turns on the size of the balance and how publicly it is tied to a real identity. The same logic extends to how people spend crypto day to day. A self-custody card that spends from your own wallet keeps control with the user but carries the same personal exposure question at scale, while custodial card programs concentrate funds with a provider. There is no universally correct answer, only a threat model. Michnick's argument is simply that, for a specific and growing group, the threat model now includes the front door.